You might like to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, your word, your grace, it's all of you. So deal with us according to your goodness, for your own honor. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of everything, it's the Memorial Day weekend for us to celebrate in the United States. And Memorial Day serves to help people remember the cost that men and women have paid for us to be able to sit here at this point right now. Now, in the light of that, so Israel was in the land, and they went into Egypt, went from Israel, went from Egypt into the land, and they went from bondage to liberty. Now, they had to exercise that liberty that was given them. It cost them, as we've been sharing in Joshua on Sunday night, it cost them. And they are not doing that well with it. Or they won't do that well with it. And we shared together for our own American history. We have the pilgrims coming, and they sought to find freedom to worship, to approach God, to look to God with some freedom, liberty, in order to be able to talk about God, think about God, and enjoy God. That was their intent, among other things. And they came. They came to this country. And it has cost them. It costs somebody a lot for us to be able to be here at this time. Now, in order to try to help us a little bit with that, if you could just use your imagination, and I want to set you in the middle, or it won't make any difference. Once you're in the middle of the Atlantic, or the Pacific, it won't make any difference. So you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, right out here, out there, and you're in a ship of some kind, and the storms are there, and you're out there, distant. And it's very important, I would think, as the storm comes and goes, a great storm, little storm, I think it's very important that you understand the ship that you are in, that you're on. And you need to understand it so that you can handle the environment of the storm, the waves, etc. Using an illustration. When I was in the North Atlantic during the Korean War, and out there, I was on a Coast Guard cutter, USS Coos Bay, I still remember it, 327 feet long, out there, and in the winter, and the ice formed all over the upper part of the ship, and including the captain, everyone had to be out there chipping ice so the ship wouldn't tip over out there. So we all did that, storms there, did that. Now, if I was on an aircraft carrier, I wouldn't have had to chip ice. Do you understand? Not likely. I was just on that ship. So what ship you're on out in the sea of life is pretty important, because you're going to have to ride the ship on your journey in the middle of everything. And the ship is very important on how you're comfortable you are with its capacity and capability of enduring, handling the storms, etc., to get there. Now, moving a step further, we are all on planet Earth, spinning around over 1,000 miles an hour, and here we are on planet Earth. There's all kinds of places on planet Earth, even though it's 70% water, where there's all the land masses and islands, and all of that is there. Now, depending on where you are right now on planet Earth, you're going to find the culture, the conditions, and everything exist. Good or bad, Muslim country, whatever, communist country, socialist country, whatever. And they're all there. And they're all quite different than our country. Our country is rather unique, to say the least. And our country was founded because of the Pilgrims, Puritans, and all of that, people coming, because they understood here was a way to escape Europe, etc., and to find some measure of liberty, some measure of freedom. And here they are. So here we are on, where are we located? We're located in North America, in the United States of these United States of America. Here we are. Now, it's very important, I understand. Here I am on planet Earth. I'm not in Russia. I'm not in China. I'm not in an Islamic Iran or something. I'm here. And I have certain things here that because I have an understanding here in this location, planet Earth, on planet Earth, as it spins around, I have certain privileges and certain conditions that are not found elsewhere, not in the same measure, in the same degree at all. And therefore, here we are, and the cost, that's Memorial Day, men and women, paid a dear price for you and I to sit here right now and have an open Bible, to be able to absorb, to understand, to exercise, if we choose. That's a privilege, an awesome privilege. I don't know where you'd go. Now, I know Australia, I know different countries, but still, the rules, regulations, when you bring it all together, aren't quite like ours. And it cost. Now, having said that a little bit, we are a republic. We aren't a communist country. We aren't a socialist country. We aren't run by a king. The fact they rebelled against they wanted George Washington, remember in the beginning, they wanted George Washington to be their king. And he refused, understandably. Now, over if you would please in Hebrews, in the light of that. It costs men and women, that's right, to have. Now, why could men and women come over seeking freedom, liberty, to be able to seek God, to know God, be freely do so and enjoy doing so and have the benefits of doing so? Well, because God, even before the foundation of the earth, before angels, Christ died on the cross to make all of this possible. So here we are on planet Earth, and we are a very young nation compared to all the nations. Where here we are, and we were founded special because Israel was special. But we are uniquely more special because they came seeking to know you and find you and understand you, God. So now, having said that, it cost God his son. It cost God for you, I, to be on planet Earth in the first place, to be here in the second place. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So God, you did a wonderful thing. You made it so that you became like us. That's why we even existed in the first place, in the image and likeness of who you are, is because of your grace and your mercy. Now, sliding over, if you would, to chapter 11. So God, you made it possible by the person of our Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross even before the foundation of anything is created. You determined that to make all of it possible. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, here's the Jewish people looking. They were looking for an Israel that God intended, but required believing. And Israel didn't pay the cost to have it. Chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they did so. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I might as well read it. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, Egypt, etc., they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call them to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. God, Israel. So Israel, all that you didn't understand, and remember that for the Jewish people, they're looking for the historic nation of Israel, not individuals so much as they are for a nation. At least they were when they are believing, looking for that millennial kingdom and God's wonderful future for them. Now, having said that, now here's Israel. Here we are on planet Earth, pilgrims, everything. God, you made it all possible. And making it possible, they came over, pilgrims, etc. And it cost them wars, all the wars. And if you're going to use the one that cost the most, the Civil War, and the North and the South, and between the North and the South, 1861, 1865 in particular, there were over just 498,364 men and women died. The most costly war was our Civil War. 500,000 men and women died. Wow. Now they died. They died. And that's where Memorial Day arises, because they all paid a price. That's an awesome price. Awesome price. Now think of Grant and them in 10 minutes down in one of his battles. He got so frustrated, General Grant. He got frustrated with things not going well. He sent his men on a frontal attack, and in 10 minutes, he lost 7,000 of his men. In 10 minutes. 7,000 of his men died in 10 minutes. Wow. Over. And as you think of the southern part in Gettysburg, if you would, and you remember now thinking they attacked, the general said, what did he say? My men are invincible. And they got slaughtered. War. Well, it all cost. And that's what Memorial Day is about. A cost. An awesome cost. And people gave their lives for something they believed in. You wouldn't go out there so you can have pizza or riot out in the street. No, they went there to what? Make possible the wonderment of what? Our Declaration and our Constitution. That's the basis. In God we trust. And God, we're looking to you. So all of the men and women gave their lives willingly, willingly, willingly. And you remember, some of you remember the Second World War, when they lined up after Pearl Harbor announced attack on that Sunday morning. They all lined up on Monday, headquartered, different places, to what? Sign up to go to battle. That's what they did. You wouldn't have that today, but you had it then. And they did it because they had a sense of America and freedom, even though all kinds of variety and understanding and backgrounds, but there was an awesome sense that we were privileged to have something, and it was worth dying for, fighting for, and that's why we have the Memorial Day recognized in May 5th, 1868. You remember John Logan went, he's the commander-in-chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, and he set aside that day to strew flowers in remembrance of those that, to decorate the graves with the flowers, etc., of those that gave their life. They gave their lives to remember. We don't want to forget. We don't want to forget. Memorial Day. So Memorial Day comes along, and it's an awesome day. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, it was a commitment, and they did it. They did it. And there are dear people today with impaired physically, etc. People, families that have lost loved ones in war. That's a hard thing. Some probably missing in action still. Wow. Prisoners probably somewhere, maybe. Wow. So God, they all did that for the country. What's so valuable? What was valuable enough to give your life, to pay with your life? Huh. The Declaration and Constitution that are found nowhere else. And our founding fathers paid a price in the law, in the battle of the Revolution. They paid for it. They paid to do it. They paid with their lives often and did that. Now, they did all of that so that we could sit here. And you have to understand why you can sit here in this country, on planet Earth, spinning around with the freedoms that you have, that we have. They're awesome freedoms. And we need to appreciate them. Why? So that we understand, God, why did you do it? Because he went to Calvary's cross before anything was ever created to make it all possible. For me, for humans to what? To be saved, 1 Timothy 2. God, you want all men to be saved. I do, I do. And you want all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. I do. Truth. Liberty. Freedom to seek God, to know God freely, freely, without getting arrested, without going to jail. To have a heart to seek him. Now, I know we're in a different day. And that wonderful yesterday's and the patriotism and the understanding, the saluting of the flag as they march by. Wow. We don't have that so much anymore. It's sort of a regular holiday where you have sort of fun and food and don't have to go to work. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God, here, if we can, I'm going to give you just that which you know, all of this you know, but we tend to forget it, and unless we're mindful of it, we don't understand the freedom of being a believer, of knowing the Lord as our Savior, of opening your Bible, carrying a Bible. Second paragraph, Declaration. we hold these truths to be self-evident, obvious, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, no one can take them, rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, unquote, end quote. Webster defines happiness, because he's the 1828, he's the big Webster's dictionary. That's where you get all the definitions that are found in your Constitution and Declaration. So Webster, what did happiness mean back then to you? See if it matches your view of happiness. Quoting, happiness, the agreement, the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good. Understand? The enjoyment, the wonderful knowing, feeling the benefits of just being good is what happiness is. Now, in the light of that, so they died in the pursuit of the giving families privileges, us privileges, the future children privileges, of having the benefits of all that you've given to us, God, to be able to have your word. That's why they came, the Judeo-Christian background. That's what it's in the Declaration, it's in the Constitution. That's what it's there for. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, in the light of that, and you'll remember while I'm thinking of it, in the Declaration of that, in the process, a reliance, a wonderful, they had. That doesn't mean they were all saved in a biblical way. No, it just, they were very God-conscious, even Ben Franklin. They're all God-conscious. Wow. Absolutely. There's no question. God, unless you do it, it ain't gonna isn't going to happen. So now, therefore, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. We're willing to die to protect these truths. We're willing to die to pursue these truths. We're willing to die to provide these truths. Truth. To have truth in the midst of error. To have light in the midst of darkness. Truth. Light. Right. Think about it. Aren't you excited a little bit, maybe moved, when you know something is right? When you know something is right and you're in the right place in the right direction and you're thinking right, doesn't it do something for you when you know it's right? How do we know it's right? Because of you, God. You are the God, the God of truth, the truth of God. Truth, reality, that's the word. You're real, God. God said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. I am, to know the truth. That's what you want us to do. That's correct. That's the whole purpose of the world spinning around and you don't fall off of it. Wow, that's why they came over. To give, and they paid. I knew people, you know people. Your family, my own family, died in the Second World War. Wow. They paid for it. I think it's awesome. I do. We forget. And you know, God, we have another problem. We forget that you died so that we could truly know the truth and the truth would set us free. We forgot that you died. It cost you, God, your son, in order for us to sit here and even think about it. to know it, to possess it, to pursue it, to have the enjoyment of it. God, only you can do that. Only you. And you did that for us. The rest of the world, there's over 7 billion of us out here. How many real believers? I don't know. God knows. I know if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. Not because of your goodness or your merit or your works, simply because you have a relationship to the right person for the right reasons. You're a sinner that needs God's saving grace. Jesus Christ provides that. That's an awesome thing. That's why you're saved. Nothing to do with you. Everything. Think of Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your part, our part, isn't it? Acts 16:31. And God does the saving. You do and I do the believing. God does the saving. That's what he does. We can talk like this. There's other parts of the world, China and Russia and that, Islam countries. You wouldn't do this. No, sir. No, no. Now, so having said that, so we have God, we forget, an empty tomb. And that's why we do communion, isn't it? To do this in, you remember it, 1 Corinthians 12. Do this in what? In remembrance. It's a memorial, so you don't forget. That's why Memorial Day, so you don't forget. You don't forget. I'm with the veterans in some of these things. And in the process, that's my hope for them, is to, their main thing is to try to help the people, men and women, that have paid a price in disability and needs and everything, to try to take care of the veterans. And I try to tell them, help them. You need to be, you understand, the generation that exists, millennial, Xers, XZers, whatever you want, they're there. They don't know what it is, what you paid for. They don't understand why they can say and do like they do. They don't understand that you guys paid to make them have that privilege. And they don't care 2 cents about it, for the most part. Now, God, that's a concern. You're right. Therefore, if you would, over in your Bible to Ephesians. God, you have a wonderful, wonderful plan and purpose. Before we do Ephesians, 2 Thessalonians. That's right near Ephesians. Almost. 2 Thessalonians, if I may. I sort of left the thing in speaking to you, but I was just trying to share with you what I see. I just don't see people looking to God. I don't see them appreciative of what they have. I just don't see it. It's sad. And therefore, we're going to become more and more biblically illiterate. And we're going to become more pagan, if that's the word. We're going to find ourselves, if you thought the world, that's why the generation Zers and all of that, as you're going down here, are going to be less and less and less inclined to know the Declaration, to care about the Declaration, to care about the Constitution. We're struggling politically to get people to honor. They say, I'm going to honor the Constitution. Well, then why don't you do it? Even locally in our own state. Honor the Constitution. Do you even understand the Constitution? Do you understand what men and women died for to give you the right to be here and now? Now, Thessalonians, God, as we're moving forward, so we aren't going to be surprised. In Thessalonians, if I can, chapter 2, picking up in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them internal, that are perishing. Because, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. Why don't they want to know the truth? Because they'd be saved. How can you be saved? You only can be saved because of the truth. God is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, deception. That purpose they should believe a lie, the falsehood. Verse 12, what's that going to produce? That they all might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All the way. So God, where are we headed? If you're looking for an appreciation, a greater understanding of all that it costs to give us this particular piece of property that we're on planet Earth, and a very special piece of property that God has set apart for us to enjoy on these United States of America. Now, Ephesians. In Ephesians and in chapter 1. And you will note, please, in Ephesians chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 9, God has a wonderful, wonderful purpose. And you can't have the purpose without God. You can't have the benefits without God. Therefore, in the lovely section, God helping us, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, what is that? According to his good pleasure, he's pleased to do so, which he hath purposed in himself. Purposed has to do a purpose, setting apart before, to set your mind apart before, purpose in the heart, to have a purpose, a wonderful, wonderful pursuit of that purpose. Now, to have that. Now, God, you purpose, that's right. So, God, I want to be in the place like the pilgrims, like having the advantage of being in these United States, like having a Bible, like being able to open the Bible, believe the Bible, and letting God, in whose presence we are, to take his word. He encourages our heart by his word. God has something to say, and he said it. We read the Bible, and then we're in his presence right now. So as we read the Bible, we're in your presence. That's right. That's why I'm reading the Bible, so I know I'm in his presence. So I know how to handle you, God, how to understand you, like the ship. Want to understand the ship. You want to understand the piece of property that we're on that costs men and women their lives. God, we want to understand. So when we understand, God, why we're here, where we're going, and how to get there. So God, are we going to make the trip? Are we going to get there? Yes, we are. Absolutely. He which hath begun a good work in you is going to what? He's going to finish it. That's the way it is. God, so are we safe? We worry, we wander, we mutter, we become doubtful and disappointed and distressed and all of those different things. And God, we have them because we lost the privilege of the ship. Do you remember the ship in the storm out there years ago? A very bad storm. And the ship, and the passengers were all down there. And the ship was going along, and if any of you have ever been out like that, you can know what that's like. You know, are we going to make it? Wow. The waves are over the ship. Literally, the waves were over the ship. The wave. In fact, you don't care about all that stuff. I'm heading into the wave, looking out at the cabin. The wave's up there. We'll go smack into the wave like that. And the whole ship would shudder like this. And then we'd go a little further. Yeah. So remember this. Now there they are in the ship and going along. And they're concerned about the storm and the danger. And so one of them sends a man up to the bridge, the captain, to get some encouragement. And the man went up to the bridge and the thing, and here's the captain, the crew up there, and here's the captain. And the man came up and said, I'm from down below, and looking at the storm and looking at the ship moving and all of that. And the man was asking about how's our safety, how are we going to do? And the man looked, and the captain looked at him and smiled. And the man turned around, went back down to the people, and the people wanted to know what? The captain smiling. God, what's happening? You're smiling. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're smiling. Yep. Yep. I could know that in Russia. I could know that anywhere if I seek God with all my heart. But in this country, we have the privilege of going way beyond that. Like in Ephesians 1:3. I'm off, and bear with me. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God, you already did it. All, A-L-L, where is it? In the person of Jesus Christ. Remember now in chapter 4, might as well do it. Chapter 4, we did it in Sunday school. Chapter 4, over if you would to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Measure means how much? Of the gift of Christ. Now, what did God give you? He gave you himself in his Son when you received him as your Savior. God said, now, you got the whole package. That's why he stands in front of him in the upper room. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. He said, I'm standing right in front of you, the 11 of you. I'm standing. I'm everything. Do you understand? You don't have to look at anything. You don't have to need a history book. You don't need geography. You don't need the future. I am the future. I am everything. We're in the presence of God just like that, right now. Are you not? Are you not? Right now. Absolutely. Now, whether we're going to understand that and exercise it is something else. So God, you're going to give us all these blessings. I already did. So God, are you going to be my Father? You say it, Spirit of God, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. Are you going to be the Father? I am. I am. What does a father do? A father takes care of everything. That's right. God said, if you don't mind, I know you won't like it because you want to be an adult, but I want you to be as a little child. I'm the Father, and you're the child. You're the Son. I'm the Father. If you don't mind, I would like to be the Father to you and take care of you. Is that all right? I don't know. That's what he wants. That's what it's all about. Declaration. Why do you guys bother doing this? Because it's what it's all about. It's all about you, God. Without your providence, you can't. We all gave our lives. They did. 56 signers. They went and gave their lives. Ultimately, their properties, everything. Boy, it cost. That's right. Liberty cost. It cost. It cost me because it cost you, God. Therefore, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God and to Christ Jesus. God, my system is already condemned, but you've already given your wonderful person in your wonderful presence to purpose, to outwork. Verse 10. I'm going down to verse 11 even. Verse 11, Ephesians 1:11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, marked out ahead of time, to set something up ahead of time, to plan it out, according to the purpose, there's your little word again, purpose, mind, the mind, mind before. God, you have a wonderful purpose of Him, your purpose, not ours, who worketh all things, worketh all things, worketh all things. That's what it says, everything, after the counsel of His own will. And therefore, God, you're able to say, you say it in 25 different ways that we can even look at. All things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for what? For good. That's what they do. How can that possibly be? Because I'm looking to you, God, and when I'm looking to you, we just read it, everything you're going to do, your purpose, you have a wonderful purpose. To what? To be conformed to the image of my Son, my Father. To be the image of your Son. That's right. That's what you want. That's what you want. So God, we aren't going to have that in some, most of the world don't care. A good, huge portion of the world doesn't care at all. But God, you do. And when you find a whosoever, when you find a whosoever, that's an awesome thing. Now, therefore, in the light of all of that, in the light of God's wonderful caring and purpose to speak, God, you do what you do in a most awesome way. So, God, here we are looking, and we've just tried to bounce around and irritate a little bit to pay attention a little bit better, practically, about just being alive in this country and caring a little bit more. Oh, we can't fix most of it at all. But God, we can certainly take advantage while we still have it and open your word, honor your word, have a commitment to your word. God, to know the truth will set us free. God, and you said that, you are the truth, and you give us a wonderful liberty, a freedom, not a license. Give us liberty to be able to fully function, to enjoy the benefits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Appreciate your patience. Thank you. Malachi chapter 3. God, what are you going to say when you end the Old Testament? You're going to say, as you know, God, you're going to, God, here we are, we're coming to the end of the church age, tribulation right around the corner, coming up. And God, what are we, is there an appreciation for your imminent soon return? Nope. Are they going to, they're going to say, Peter, 2 Peter 3, where is the promise of what? Where is the promise of your coming? We don't believe it. They mock it. The churches don't even believe it. Practice it. That's what you gave us the right to know. So God, here we are. Do this in remembrance until I come. Keep remembering me. Don't forget me. Till I come. Now, back to the Old Testament to get the flavor of it. That's what you said to them. And I don't have a lot of friends. A lot of people don't care. And they don't care. They don't even think about such things. That doesn't mean you don't. That doesn't mean you don't do that. Malachi 3, you know, verse 16. Then they. Malachi doesn't end good, you know, in the sense of the Israel, but then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance, you going to remember? God, you don't forget, nope, was written before him for them. God, you have it. Are you going to forget? Remember our Lord's going to say in Isaiah, my hands, if you don't ever, we've got it now, God. God ever said, in his perfect humanity, God, listen, he said, listen, don't tell me I don't care. Don't tell me I don't understand. Do you see my hands? That's a nail pierced, my nail pierced hand. I died so you could know me and I could know you. So don't give me I don't care business and I'm not involved. Don't you dare pull that off. You know, God doesn't care. Baloney. Whatever. Wow. Now, so therefore, remembrance was written before for them that feared the Lord, a healthy fear, changing our character and conduct, and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, and the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God, you're going to have it. You're going to count them as your jewels. That's right. Treasures, God. Without turning back there to Ephesians in closing. Remember Ephesians 1:18. I want you to know the riches of the glory of his grace. His inheritance in you. Ephesians 1:18. His inheritance in you. For his glory. Now, I know if I went around with a big mirror and went in front of you, you don't look like much. None of us do. But God sees you in his Son. And that's precious to him. Old Testament, they're jewels. The Old Testament believers that honored me, they're jewels. To find a person that honors me. Jewels. Precious. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, we just try to remind ourselves a little bit, God, about what it's all about. It's all about you and your word, your wonderful working, your saving grace, bearing witness to whosoever's that they might believe and come to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, to be able to enjoy your wonderful person and presence, to be able to, God, Noah walked with you, Abraham walked with you. God, we house you. We are your home, our heart. Is your heart. You bought it with a price. And God, you made it possible for our heart to journey into your heart and know you, which is life eternal. God, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Thank you for the truth. And the truth, you said it, will set you free to know me. Unhindered, uncomplicated, no confusion whatsoever. Clear, cut, plain, simple, glorious. God, we say it in a simple little word, our Father. Father, 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 thank you very, very much. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.